In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Again, I really need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. So please, if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Paul says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything but a new creation." We must realize what Jesus and Paul said are very important. People must experience second birth, must experience conversion. We as Catholics believe that we came into that birth at baptism and through faith, but as adults we call it a second conversion. I'd like to tell you about my second conversion, or if people want to call it being born again, or other people want to call it becoming a new creation. I want to tell you about mine. It was a long time ago. I was just out of college, and it was my fourth year in college, as a matter of fact. And I remember going to the church on a Saturday evening to go to confession. And the priest was speaking with a young man who was in the seminary. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I would like to be that young man's friend." That was just one little prayer. I didn't know who he was. He had a kind face. He was in the seminary, and I was interested in things like that. And, come to find out, nothing happened. But I'm working in the summer, taking kids out for the day on buses and just doing everything with these kids. And guess who's with me? The very person that I asked would be a friend of mine. The Lord sent him to me. It was really interesting. So I got to know him a little, and he said one day to me, "I'm going up to Lawrence to a Bible study. Would you like to come?" And I said, "Yes, I would really like to come." And I remember driving up to Lawrence with him, waiting to see what this Bible study was all about. I'd never been to this kind of a meeting. And I was in the midst of 100 people. They were sitting every place, old and young, young and old. Some were college students. Others never went to college. But one thing I realized is that there was no generation gap, that they really loved Jesus. The person who started the meeting opened the Bible to Matthew's gospel, and he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." I knew he believed it, and I knew Jesus was with us. I knew. And then he passed the Bible along, and everybody could share or pray or do whatever they wanted to do, and everyone received the Bible. I'll never forget it. My eyes were really opened up. I saw people who really believed. They did not only go to church, but they really believed, and I wanted it. I wanted it. As I often told you before, St. Paul's experience for the Jews is to make them jealous. St. Paul said, "We'll convert the Jews if they see how we live and what we have in Christ Jesus." Well, I was jealous. I was jealous. I wanted what they had. And as I was listening, I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me. I had never heard the Lord's voice, but I knew it was the Lord. And he called me by name, and he said, "Tommy, you can be in the deepest mud hole, but I'll always be there to pull you out, because I'm your loving Father." And I just knew that this was God. I could be in the deepest mud hole, but he'd always be able to pull me out because he was my loving father. Little did I know that God was speaking through the Psalms. Psalm 40, I waited and waited for the Lord, and he heard my voice. And he placed my foot upon a rock. Many will see and be glad. I'm going to read it to you. It's really my life. Well, I can't find it. Yes, I can. Here it is. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me out of the miry pit, the mud hole. He set my feet upon a rock. That's Jesus. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. That's for sure. A song of praise unto our God. That's for sure. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I knew that the Lord had spoken to me. You can be in the deepest mud hole. I didn't know Psalm 40. I found that days and months later that God was telling me that I would lead people and many would see me and be glad. And I said, how can this be? I'm just a normal person. And not only am I just a normal person, I'm kind of timid. And how could many see and be glad? Well, anyway, what happened is that there was going to be a retreat in the next week, and I wanted to go to this retreat. It was called Antioch Retreat, and it was really a retreat of the Christian message. The first love, the first talk was God the Father. The second talk was God calls us all. The third talk was Jesus Christ. The fourth talk was being a Christian. So there were talks like this, and I remember going to these talks with all these young people, and I started to look at these young people, and they were all glowing. They were all glowing, and I said, why are they glowing, and I'm not glowing? I experienced God last week, but why are they experiencing God now, and I'm not? Well, on that Sunday morning, I went up to the chapel where the Blessed Sacrament was, and I said to the Lord, you're just like everybody else. I came to seek you, and you hide from me. After I spoke to the Lord, I said my words, and he said, rest. He told me to rest. So I got myself down on the carpet, and I began to rest. And I don't know how long I was there, 1 minute, 1 hour, I have no idea. But when I raised my head up, I saw in front of the Blessed Sacrament these wildflowers, and they were filled with the glory of God. I saw what they were doing, and I saw what they were doing. They were glorifying God. And the Lord said, do you see these flowers, how much glory they give me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, how much more glory can you give me? You're a human being. I said, much, Lord. And with that, I said, you can have my life. And this river started to flow within me, this river of life, this river that Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you had only asked me, I would have given you living water. This river that Jesus said in the seventh chapter of John 37-39, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And I was experiencing this. And I couldn't keep it to myself. I went home and started telling people, but they thought I was on drugs. My family thought I was on drugs. There was no drug at all. The only drug I had was Jesus. And he was changing my life. And I wanted everyone to know it, and the people just didn't want to hear it. So I said, you know what? I'll just do the best I can. They don't know it because they never experienced what I experienced. My life was changed. St. Paul said it perfectly. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That perfectly fits his life. when the glory of God shone around Paul, he became a new creation. He was killing Christians. He was putting Christians in jail. He put his thumbs down for Stephen, and he says, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And you know, I started going to this Antioch group, and I was delighted that I had friends, and I had friends that wanted to love Jesus, and it was wonderful. Some of them were seminarians, and I don't think any of them really got ordained. Little did I know that I would be the one that was going to get ordained. It's very interesting. I just went back to these meetings. They were held in Winthrop, as a matter of fact, on Francis Street, right down the street from me now. And I knew that God was calling me to a deeper way of life, and that God was calling me in the Holy Spirit, that I needed more of the Lord. I needed the Holy Spirit. I needed this baptism of the Spirit. And you know, I started to seek God, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It started before the Blessed Sacrament, but then I put an end to it, and then it continued. And I began speaking in other languages and prophesying, and oh, all that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience of the Holy Spirit. But you see, I needed a people to pray with. And my people that went to the Antioch, they wanted nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They wanted nothing to do with speaking in tongues. They wanted nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, it's very interesting. I was looking for a friend, but I could not take my friend ahead of Jesus. So I had to make a decision. Was I going to have a friend, or was I going to choose Jesus? And there was no choice. I chose Jesus. And somehow we got to the Cenacle, and I'll never forget, the Cenacle was a retreat house run by the Sisters of the Cenacle. And the first time we were there, there must have been about 20 of us, 20 young people. Then the next night, there were like 125, then 150, then 175. It was just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. People were hearing that God was doing something at the Cenacle. And I could tell you that thousands of people came and received Jesus. They encountered Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who was raised from the dead. My job was to give the Life and the Spirit seminars, and that was a wonderful job. I would preach for 5 weeks at that time, and I would preach on God's love. I would preach on following the Holy Spirit. I would preach on repentance. I would preach on the baptism of the Spirit. I would preach on growth. And all those weeks, I preached something different every week. And I saw people, we prayed with people, and they too received this great baptism of the Holy Spirit. They too started speaking in tongues. They too started to experience a change in their life. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this experience led me to the seminary because I wanted to full-time preach the Word of God and to celebrate Jesus. I was a sixth-grade teacher, and I had to make a choice. You know, I could be a sixth-grade teacher for the rest of my life, or maybe I needed to go into the seminary. And I fought with God about the seminary, but I ended up going, and thanks be to God, I was ordained. I was ordained, and they knew who I was. They knew I was a man who was baptized in the Holy Spirit. They knew that I never held anything to myself. They knew that, and they ordained me. Now, let me tell you what happened yesterday. I went to the store, to the market basket, and I have my cart. It's empty at this point, and this guy comes up to me. His face is shining. He says, "Hi, Father Tom, how are you?" And his face is shining with the glory. I said, "I'm fine, how are you?" He said, "You don't remember me, but someone brought me to your house, and I was on drugs, and you prayed for me. And I went to a retreat this weekend, and my life has changed." I said, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?" Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Then I think about Tom. I won't give you his last name. Tom was a drug addict, and I'm going to tell you, when he was a drug addict, if you looked at his face, you would know that, my gosh, he was following another Lord. It wasn't Jesus. And he was completely transformed. And you could look at his face now and say, my God, what a beautiful, peaceful face. Tom encountered Jesus. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Then there was Jean, who came to me with cancer, and they gave her 6 months to live. And I promised her that I would pray with her, and I would pray every time she came. I knew I couldn't heal her, but I could pray. And, you know, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and she was at my 33rd anniversary just on Sunday. This was about 6 years ago. No cancer. She's completely been delivered by the power of God. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. How did Jean get to the Holy Rosary? They were from North Andover. How did Jean get to the Holy Rosary? Well, her friend was a nurse at a nursing home, and this young man was taken to Holy Rosary on a Saturday when we pray for the sick, and he was riddled with cancer. We prayed over him, and he was completely set free from cancer. He was healed. We didn't even know this. But the woman who was the head nurse was a friend of Jean's. Said, you've got to go to that little church in Winthrop, because God is doing something there. And you know what? She was healed of cancer, as well as the kid was healed of cancer. I never would have known there was a kid healed of cancer. What happens? This is an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, an encounter with the risen Lord, an encounter with the Christ who died and who rose from the dead, an encounter that brings us life, life more abundantly. Jesus promised, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. One thing I found out was faith came by hearing, and hearing by the proclamation of the Word of God. One thing I found out was I was called to preach the Word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. I was called to pray with people, whether it was in the market basket or in the sanctuary. I was called to pray for people, and that's what I did. And God has really honored that prayer. Other things that have happened as a result of the ministry Jesus gave me is Father Matt came to me before he was a priest, and he already had the experience of Jesus. He had worked and prayed at Medjugorje, but I had him for a whole summer, and his whole life was changed in his ministry-wise. He says whenever he sees me, you know, the fruit that I bear comes because of you. These are your fruit because I was your fruit, and these fruits come because of you. Well, you know what? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Then there was Eric that was on the phone last week on the radio. You know, he came, and he came knowing Jesus, but again, he was able to find out about ministry and what I did in ministry. And he said, you know, when he reaches a point that he doesn't know what to do, he says, I wonder what Father Tom would do right now. You see, I'm no prodigy. I'm no lighthouse being of myself. I'm just a man who loves Jesus. I'm just a man who has faith. I'm just a man who prays for people. I'm just a man who loves people. That's all I am. I'm God's man. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I became a new creation in Lowell. I became a new creation when God spoke to me. I became a new creation when that river flowed through me. I became a new creation. And I have preached this to people all around the world. I've preached this on the radio. I've preached this every place. I am a Catholic, I am a priest, and I know that people are called to second conversion, or Jesus called it being born again, or St. Paul called it becoming a new creation. You see, St. Paul knew who he was. He committed crimes against God's people. He put them in jail and he killed them. He put them in jail and he killed them. And he is the one that said, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. He was talking about himself. The old has passed away, the old order. Behold, the new has come. No more was he killing Christians now. He was preaching the word of God. No more was he killing Christians. He was preaching the word of God. He says he was the worst of all sinners, but yet God found him. The Shekinah glory came upon him. Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you persecute. I am Jesus whom you persecute. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's Paul. That's Saul who became Paul. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And today I'm asking you, are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? Have you encountered the risen Christ? Have you encountered the Jesus who died on the cross for you and the Jesus who rose from the dead for you? Have you encountered him? If not, we're going to pray that you will right now. And I ask you not to try. Please don't try. I'm just going to pray with you and you're going to repeat this prayer. We are going to pray very simply like little children. We're going to pray like little children. If I came to your house today and I knocked on the door, you would open the door for us. I just anointed a woman who's dying. We knocked on the door and they opened the door for us. So right now, I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart to you. I come to you in need. Forgive all my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Love me with more love than I've ever had. Make me a new creation. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the gifts of the Spirit. I want Jesus. I want to know him. I want to love him. I want to serve him. Come and dwell in my heart by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he has come. He has come. Jesus, I give you thanks for coming into the hearts of people. I give you thanks for touching people today. I give you thanks that you have given me a testimony. I give you thanks that you're going to give each one of these people a testimony to proclaim your wonderful works. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. I want to pray for the lady that we just anointed. She's on her way to God. I pray, God, that you would hold her in the depths of your heart and that you would take her home, that you would take her home. We prayed with this lady 2 or 3 months ago. She was dying. After I anointed her, she got better. She started eating again. She started drinking again. Started talking again. But now she's 99, and the Lord's calling her home. So we pray for her right now that Jesus would just take her and bring her to himself, that Jesus would just love her and bring her to himself. People have asked me, you know, what is your conversion story? Well, that's what I tried to do today, to tell you my conversion story. And I want to tell you it's still happening. It's still happening. I need greater conversion. I need God to become more for me than he's ever become. I need God to fill me more and more with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I need that. I need to encounter Jesus risen from the dead. I need to encounter Jesus who died and was raised from the dead. I need to continue to preach the word in season and out of season. I need to speak it and I need to hear it. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. Many of you have listened to me and never written to me. Oh, please, we want to stay on in your area. And if we do not get enough money, I have to come off. Like, I have to come off in places like Iowa. I have to come off in places like New Jersey. I have to come off in places all around the United States, Washington, D.C. I don't want to come off these stations. That's why I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. I know you're writing it down. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. In November, we are going to vote for assisted suicide. No, we have to vote no. We have to vote no. We have no right to kill people. It all started with abortion. It all started with contraception. The contraception led to abortion. And now abortion's leading to final hours. Let's kill the people because they're dying anyway. I told you, I prayed with that lady 2 or 3 months ago, and she came back to life for 3 whole months. She had her 99th birthday the other day, and after her birthday, she fell into a coma. Let me just tell you, they enjoyed their mother for 3 more months. You know, we don't kill people. We want people to stay alive until God calls them, until God calls them to himself. And yet we're going to have on the ballot assisted suicide, physician-assisted suicide. We must vote against it. We must vote no, N-O. It is not mercy. It is murder. It is murder. It is murder. It is murder. And we are voting for 2 candidates for the presidency. One is pro-life and the other one is pro-choice. We need to vote as a new creation. Remember, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We need to vote as new creations. We are for life. We are not for death. We are for life. We are not for abortion. Again, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.